So why the community motto? I just want to spend 2 seconds talking about why build a community. What are the reasons for doing so right here, right now? Number one, the online community model is pretty much where the web is shifting towards or has arrived. And when you have big people like Cisco buying social networking vendors like Five Across, I mean, check this out. Cisco dives into Web 2.0, then you know we're heading towards a new era, and we're in a new era. Number two, why build a community? Because the user-generated content, the data, eliminates. It pretty much eliminates and lessens the cost of goods sold. Because the data, the goods, what people are meeting together for is founded on themselves, the data they create. So there is no cost of providing and creating data or information or goods in anything like that. The users create it. And that's going to be something that you noticed more prevalent as we study this and really dig into it, that user generated data is key. They create the experiences. They create the data. They create the interactions among themselves. You're the facilitator of it all, but there is a relinquishment of control, and they pretty much generate all the data. People have needs. People have needs to join communities of like-minded individuals. I mean, as long as humanity has existed, we as human beings have wanted to join communities, like-minded people. Examples, churches, Rotary Clubs, Parent Teachers Associations, Sierra Club, alumni organizations, fraternities, sororities, cultural clubs, Tupperware, Mary Kay. I mean, all of these are examples even before the internet of how people got together. I mean, Tupperware Mary Kay is the, you know, pretty much 2.0 in real life. I mean, Web 2.0 brought to life. Because people get together, they share experiences, they create the data, for example. People have needs to communicate. People have needs to express themselves with other individuals who share their interests, their hobbies, their thoughts, their beliefs, their skills, their accomplishments, their goals. People have these needs. And the best part and the opportunity for people like us is that these needs are not satisfied by general sites like MySpace. Yeah, you go to MySpace for friends, for family, but people's passions, their interests, their hobbies, that presents a big opportunity for people like us to create niche networks, which is another word you're going to start hearing about. Yeah, MySpace is probably the epitome of one of the most successful experiments online and has brought nearly, to date right now, 200 million people together. But this still presents opportunities for smaller niche, very targeted, streamlined communities and niche networks, as we'll call it. Like I said, people don't come to niche networks just because their friends are there. That's what they do at the big mega sites. They come to niche networks like we're going to create because they're passionate about the subject and they have a genuine interest. And the sense of ownership will be way enhanced and increased at a niche network than it can ever be at a more general social site. Here are some examples of some communities. We go to Cafe Mom. Cafe Mom connects moms together. Moms can create groups. Moms can keep up with journals, submit pictures. I mean, find moms by kids' age, photos, groups, geographic location. Make new friends, get advice from other moms, meet up with moms in the community, share experiences. If your kid is being bad, find other moms where their kids were once bad and see what they do. See how this internet, this Web 2.0 is connecting people together. Petster.com is another great example. And I've actually talked to a client that is going to also be in this similar niche, this niche network with pets. And people's love and passion for various pets. If we load Petster.com, you'll see an example. Connecting people with various pets together. Look here. They can share their dog's photos. They can browse pets. They can join various pet clubs. They can do it by hometown. Maybe get together for pet dates and things. I don't own a pet currently, but I see the power in bringing dog owners, cat owners, bird lovers together. So that's another example. You got Club Penguin. Now, this is crazy because this site just sold to Disney for about $350 million. And that's not really it, because there's another part of the deal where it can make another $300 million. It's like a $700 million deal. And if we'll see that load, Club Penguin is actually for kids. And you'd be surprised. Parents pay for their kids to get on here and network and chat and download stuff from other kids. I think it's like $5 a month. And I think they have about 900,000 to a million users, just bought by Disney. As you can see here, Disney's already claimed their name on it. But this is another example of the power of Web 2.0 and communities. You got moms up here. You got pets. You got kids. Trav Buddy, another example I've come across and actually use. Blogs, people traveling to certain destinations, they can find travel buddies. They can get their own blog. They can get reviews. See, now you can see the monetization there if the owner of this site is smart. But it's all about connecting users together and letting them come up with the content. You facilitate this thing. You create it. You envision it. But the users, they take it to the next level. They grow it because they have passion. They have interest. There's power in being the facilitator of such interaction. You can use it to grow your mailing list, of course, because as people are drawing more people, and as we'll talk about the engagement funnel, you know, you got people in the beginning who are just kind of passerbys and strangers. And then you got people on the far extreme end who are site evangelists and people in between. So you can use this to grow your list, because your users will help you to grow your list by attracting more people. And of course, the more exposure there is to your offers, your mailing list, your opt-in list, the faster your list will grow. And this is what we've noticed in our business. Offer related products and services, charge membership fees, because what you got to realize about this Web 2.0 is that people are not only going to pay for content, monthly fees for content. Really what people are going to pay for soon is the sheer interaction that you're providing to meet other people. I mean, that's what Club Penguin is all about. Club Penguin is about interaction. They're not on there trying to teach kids how to do multiplication. It's not about the kids' needs. It's about their wants. And so you'll find that just providing this interaction is going to make a lot of people rich in niche networks. Donations, tip jars. I've heard of stories. I go to TechCrunch. If you haven't subscribed there, if you really are into this 2.0 and cutting edge, TechCrunch is a great place, great newsletter. I've heard of single articles getting $30,000 in tips. You know, no force. You know, you don't have to make people pay, but just because of reciprocation, which is something else we'll talk about when we start talking about Caldini's weapons of influence. And we talk about the dynamic that when you get all these people together in one place and you don't force things upon them, they actually give, they reciprocate with the owner. They find this need to make the site grow and to make the site get to the next level because they embrace what they help create. Sell affiliate offers, leads, of course, offer solo mailings to your list or certain ones that opt into your mailing list. Offer stratified membership levels like bronze, silver, gold, platinum area. Advertising is the no-brainer, of course. But I've read certain reports and experts that think these Web 2.0 sites shouldn't be relying solely on advertising, and that the ones that can charge people to connect them together, my penmanship is not that great, are the ones that are going to be probably the best stable and stick around for the longest. Easy surveying and research. In fact, so much so better than focus groups when you can get all these people together. And then product ideation, which actually comes from the users themselves. I'm telling you, as someone who's seen this for the last 2 years, when you get this many people together in one place, like-minded at the same time, with the ability to communicate, with the ability to network, to add each other to their friend list, to grow their network, to send out group mail, to create their own organizations within your site, forms, all this stuff, ideas fish all around the site. Ideas are born daily, just on the forum, just people saying, I wish I had this. There's got to be a better way to do this. Or do you guys know how to play this? I mean, we're on there daily just writing in a notepad different ideas and product titles just based on what the users tell us. And, of course, the big sale, the acquisition. If you build build your community up, build value, and you never know. So how do you find your niche? Kind of giving you reasons why you want a community from just the fact that the internet has gone. That's where the internet is. It's here right now, and it's going to be here. It's going to stay. And in fact, it's probably only going to get more better, more refined. You know the monetary reasons, although we'll really talk about this in further weeks. But you see some of the ideas. You see other sites. You see Club Penguin being sold for $700 million. You know this is where you want to be. You know this is a model you want to follow, or else you probably wouldn't be watching this presentation. But what if you don't know your niche? What if you don't know your niche? And if you do, you know, you can just listen to this section for ideas or just for review. If you don't, I'm going to give you a few ways to try to determine what niche or target market and some rules that you should really follow. Not just rules for community building or Web 2.0, but just rules in general that I've learned just being in internet marketing since 2002, since my site took that turn. This is the rise of the niche network era. MySpace is the broad market. You know, it covers everything, but like I said, it presents an opportunity for people like us to go deeper. Here's some simple rules. Don't look for the ultimate product or service to market or some magic idea or some trendy overnight gimmick and then say, oh, I'm going to use a community model to sell it and get all these members for it, or I'm going to have some special card that every member has to buy or some special product that I'm going to force every member to buy at some point. No. You really can't have that in your forefront, or you're really kind of getting started on the wrong foot with this community. The members have sort of the control, and it does open you up. So that's one of the key things, kind of opens you up. You're transparent. So you really have to go about it a different way. Don't look for ultimate products or service just in anything. Don't say, oh, I got this magic thing here. Instead, look for the targeted market, and they should be easily targeted. You should be able to see where they hang out. Passionate. They have to be passionate. And where do you find them online? So when people come to me and say, I have an idea and nobody is doing it, you can't find anybody online because they're waiting for somebody like me to bring them together or to make a site that features things they're into. And this is going to be great. And you can't find one person on earth that is competing in the market space. And you probably have a problem if you can't find them, you don't know where they are, and you think you're going to be the magic person to bring them together. No, you have a problem. They should be easily targeted. There should already probably be a place, even if it's a 1.0 form or some basic bulletin board. They should be hanging out somewhere. There should be some primary site getting all the market share, at least right now, until you step on. Maybe they're not doing everything right. Maybe they're a mom and pop site, but your target market needs to be hanging out somewhere. Corey Rudel, my mentor, who we all miss, used to always talk about the person who says, I have finally found the product that's going to make me a trillionaire. It's a pill that cures the common cold. Now, great idea. If you could cure the cold and, you know, pop this in and you don't have the sniffies anymore or things like that, that would be a wonderful idea. It would sell great in a drugstore. But how do you sell it online? Where do people hang out that have colds? I mean, when you have a cold, do you go to a forum and start sniffing and saying, well, I got a cold, Bob. Do you have a cold? Oh, colds are great. Oh, I love colds. I mean, do you hang out and really talk about cold? Where do you find this market together? Where do they hang out? See how that's a problem, where sometimes if you go after the product or you really go after the idea first and don't find the people is what makes this thing happen for you. Find the people. Find the people and drill down. You see, my people are musicians, but I don't stop there. I don't say I'm just connecting musicians together. You know, I go deeper. I say piano. And then in my own internet marketing niche, I go even deeper, piano by ear. And then I even have products, gospel piano by ear. So it's almost like you add words. Start with your general word and just keep adding words on until you can find a market. Now, it needs to be big enough. You can't be like, you know, people from Irvine, California that eat crab at the beach with their feet under sand is not going to work. But just remember that common cure for the cold analogy, because you got to be able to find your people. Step one, find a large and easy to target market. We've talked about that. And you really want to consider wants versus needs. You really probably think that people buy because of needs, and they do. But people really take action by because of wants or passions because of wants. You don't need to rock climb, but you want to rock climb. I mean, you don't need to be into fancy Ferrari cars, but you may want to and have an extreme passion for cars or sports or golf or sewing or cooking or the aroma or wine or, you know, stuff like that. So wants are really what really drive people. The car versus the Mercedes. I mean, why do people want Mercedes? Not because they need transportation, right? It's not just because I need to get from one place to the other. No, there's a certain feeling, there's a want, you know, that certain people that want Mercedes, they buy it because it satisfies this want, this feeling. So if you can get people together based on their wants, I mean, you really, the ones, the based on needs are probably not great community models, although they can work if it's something they just really need, like they have to survive on it. You know, it's kind of it's great, but really people go after their wants, their passions, and motivations. Just remember the two things that motivate people: either the avoidance of pain, as Tony Robbins would tell you, or the gaining of pleasure. So think about that, and pretty much the gaining of pleasures is where you want to focus on niche markets. Because, you know, it's hard to get people together to talk about pain or avoiding pain, and certain niches just don't work that talk about the voice of pain and don't do this and avoid this and stuff. They're great products, but as far as connecting people together, you want to consider these things. Step two, connect them together through various Web 2.0 related activities. Interaction and collaboration are the magic words. Those are the epitome of Web 2.0. What you're doing is connecting people together to interact, to collaborate. And in this collaboration, you can get what you want out of it. Don't get me wrong. You will sell more products. You will sign up more people on your mailing list. You will get more AdSense revenue if that is your model. You just might get acquired if you can get 250,000 people together or a million people. Definitely, you can put yourself in the right position. I mean, of course, there's some ways you need to structure your company and your model and things like that. You know, an analyst can help you with that kind of stuff. But there's great upside potential if you can be the one to successfully connect people together in a passionate, easily targetable niche, and preferably people that really want, you know, and are passionate about what they do. Step three, push them through the engagement funnel, which we'll talk about the engagement funnel. And really what you want them to do, you want to encourage them to share, interact, and collaborate, not just get them together and they all say, oh, what do we do? I mean, you have to be that facilitator, especially in the beginning, pushing them down this funnel, because they all start up here, but you want to get them down here. And these are what you call the site. I'm not going to write this whole thing out, but these are what you call the site evangelists. Oh, talk about writing with a mouse. These are the site evangelists, and these are the ones that are going to help you drive your site to the masses. And the very nature of your community will cause people to pass it on naturally. The activities, the Web 2.0 concepts I'm going to talk about, just inherent in Web 2.0 itself, is viral marketing. I mean, you can't create a profile without wanting to share it. You don't add people to your buddy list without wanting to interact with them. You don't comment on someone's page without expecting a comment back, or you don't get commented on that you don't feel the need to reciprocate. You don't create a group without wanting a lot of people in your group, including your own family and friends that maybe have never heard of this site. You don't upload photos to not share them. Yeah, it may sound all fun and, you know, sound like kiddie things, but no, this is for adults too. And I'll even give you a hint. If you can bring the older crew together, I mean, those are the ones with the money, and those are the ones that'll pay to be connected in certain niche markets, really lend themselves more to more financial gain than others, of course. But if MySpace can get sold for upwards of $500 million and YouTube for 1.7 and not really have turned a profit, then go figure. Step four, have a way to monetize with a great sales process, which we'll talk about in later weeks, either through products, services, backends, advertising, your exit plan, acquisition, or what have you. So if you have no idea where to start, Start with your passions. What do you do? What do you love to do? Where do you hang out online? I mean, where you hang out, is it a full-blown Web 2.0 kind of community yet? Does it lack, or is it? Or is there some improvement it needs? That, or is it not as big where you think you can still get in this market space? Your passions. What do you do? What are your hobbies? What do you do good? What are your skills? What are your interests? What are you extremely, extremely good at? Stages of learning. You got unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious competence. And I'll just briefly explain. Unconscious incompetence are people that don't know they're not good at something, right? They don't even know. They don't know the importance of even being good at that thing. They don't even realize. And at some point, they figure it out and become a conscious incompetence. They know they're not good at something, right? Now, avoid that. I'm not good at that. I know I'm not that type of person. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. Conscious competence is when people know they're good at something, okay? They're conscious of their competence. And unconscious competence is when people have just mastered something without even having to think about it. These people right here have to think about it. You know, they have to concentrate on it, but they're good at it. But these people, they just do it naturally. They're just good at it. You know, we all kind of get there in driving and stuff like that. Things that we do so much that we've mastered. This is the mastery level. And you got to ask yourself, I mean, are there things that you have unconscious competence about them? Things that you're just so good at that you find that others aren't. You think it's just natural you're so good at it, but other people aren't. I mean, if I talk about this topic or whatever you're good at, I mean, you shine. I shut up, you talk, because it's your passion. What is that? And can you explore some possibilities there? Your frustrations, you know, what ticks you off? Is there not a solution met to something? Now, these make great products, but you really have to kind of evaluate them when it comes to communities. Anyone you know who's extremely good at something, maybe it's not you, maybe it's other people around you that sparks an idea for a community to bring people together and monetization of that community through various services and products and things. You can definitely go to a bookstore or hang out at Amazon.com. Just type in certain words that kind of enter into your ear, things you see on the news, certain things that may have not been prevalent in the past but are more popular now, things that you see in magazines. Hang out at a magazine rack and just look at all the different topics: fishing, hunting, skiing, adventure, golfing, keyboard magazine, guitar, producer, home and garden. Just look at the different magazines and then go find and see if people are already hanging out places to talk about these passions. If you've ever had, you've done something, you're like, there's got to be a better way or something. There's got to be a better way to do this or better way to, you know, and that creates a problem. Maybe you can be the one bringing people together to facilitate solutions to certain problems or to move forward, empower each other through various lack that exist. 43things.com is a great place to go. And it just tells you things that people are doing. It's as simple as that. Discover what's important, make it happen, and share your progress, right? 43 things. So people right now, as you can see on this site, are into saving money, okay, skydiving. And the bigger the words on 43 things, the more popular it is. So it kind of tells you, you know, what's popular. It's funny. People just want to be happy. Learn to play piano. Yeah, I need to actually, when this is over, I'm going to explore some more things there. People want to play piano, fall in love. So that's why dating communities and sites are so popular and not going anywhere. Start my own business. So these are ideas, because if there's people that want to do these and enough people and you can facilitate this interaction between them, then there's much to be done here. And yes, I am just throwing ideas out there. So if I don't seem as organized in my speech or direction, it's because I'm just trying to throw out things to spark ideas. And as soon as an idea hits, write it down. You remember that whole learning pyramid I showed you? And even go take action on it. Go research it later. I'm here to drop seeds in your head. Go to Google Trends. Google Trends. A lot of people haven't heard of this. It's at google.com/trends, and basically it allows you to type in certain words, just anything, to see what people are doing. I mean, here's hot trends right here, things that people are doing. We can click here to see more trends, but you know, if I typed in something like piano, it would give me this line here dating back to 04, and I believe you can go even further all the way to now, and I can kind of follow the trend of people that want to play piano, and even news stories associated and at what date they occurred to see if there was any spikes related to whatever was going on in the press. I can even do it by region. I can do it by city. I can do it by languages, and I can even compare. So if I, you know, want to only pick one niche and really were to get my focus and I want to pick a group of people that were more kind of prevalent, then I would type in different search terms and compare. So notice where piano, and I know this for a fact, that's why we're getting into guitar as well. I know guitar is like double the popularity as piano, but there's piano. And notice it doesn't give you an exact number of searches. I'll show you other tools for that. It gives you just a trend. It gives you kind of a chronological look at what it was in the past, what it is now, in a comparison against as many other search terms. So you got guitar way up here. You got drums kind of flat down here. And then you got news references over here. You got cities and states, because maybe piano is more popular in a certain region or a certain country. Geographically, you can even type in websites. We can compare MySpace against YouTube against Facebook.com. And you can see clearly, and you can see when they started. Oh my gosh, Web 2.0 wasn't even around in 2004. Notice how it just bam, 2006, it hits its spike and is still constantly growing. You got sites like YouTube here, constantly headed up. You got Facebook, not as popular as these guys, but popular in their own right. And you can see, of course, geographical locations. But just sit here and you type in different thing, you know, golf. You know, let's compare golf and maybe skiing or fishing or bowling. And you can compare different niches. Obviously, golf is way over those other things. Cooking, sewing. What else can we put here? Let's see. Cooking, sewing, I don't know, needling. I'm just making up stuff here. Needling doesn't even show, but we see here cooking is a lot more popular than sewing. Just type in your passions, your interests in here. Let's see some things that I'm interested in. Let's see, basketball. Okay, let's see, basketball training. Well, track and field training, that's not a good one. We can just put like track or something. I mean, you really just got to mess around. I'm just going off the dome, just putting different niche ideas and examples in here and just kind of going with it. Web 2.0, Web 1.0. You'll see a difference there. Web 1.0 is dead. 2.0 is all alive. Okay, so just a tool to go to. If you haven't used it, you got to use it. You can be on there all day. Overture is another place. The inventory tool there, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with it, so I'm only going to spend 10 seconds there as the site loads here. But you can type in certain words, and the Overture tool tends to be a little slow. But I can type in dancing, for example, or dancers. And what it's supposed to do is here it's going to show how many people typed that in a previous month. And oftentimes you can just compare against other ones. It's totally free. So notice, January 2007, which they used to do it monthly. Now it looks like they've slowed down for whatever reason. But dancing, 126,000 searches. Okay. Now we can type in something like, let's go fishing or fishers. And plus it'll give you other search terms as well. So that may trigger one thought that triggers another thought that triggers another thought. And that's just the general gist of that. Keyword discovery is a wonderful tool. Now, this is more along the paid lines and then the Google's keyword tool. But if I click on keyword discovery is a wonderful site to discover target markets and niches, things like that. Of course, you guys are probably also familiar with Word Tracker, which I also type in here. These are wonderful places to research niche markets. Google's keyword tool, it'll actually let you go on certain websites and pick keywords, but you're not really using it for pay-per-click in that sense. You're just trying to use it to get some ideas, just start typing in your passion. But all you're really trying to do is get some ideas, idea generation. And notice here, you know, it'll give you other examples that may lead to something else. And then it'll give you a general idea of the traffic, a competition in that market and things like that. So consider those. And here's some software that'll help you out. AdWords Analyzer, and there's some other ones here. You can go to Wilson Web to get reviews and things like that. But these are always good ways to find new niches and different things to get into. If you know your niche, you're already there. You're halfway there. You can skip this section. Another example is you can actually drive traffic to a flycatcher page. And basically all this technique does, the sole purpose of it, is to gather the why behind the target audience, find out what people really want, why they want it, and to determine whether you think this is the right market to be in, what kind of products, topics, titles, you know, really this is for internet marketing, just product creation in general. But you can use a variation of it to decide a niche or whether a niche is something you want to be in or a passionate group of people. And help you further refine your niche is really what it'll do, like pianist versus pianist by ear versus gospel pianist by ear. You know, I really find out what people that are typing in certain words are really saying, because what I think about them may not be the reality of it, because I may be drawn on my own conclusions, my own understanding of, I might think most people are into doing this kind of piano music when I might find it's about this music. And maybe I need to draw, you know, my site's theme more towards this angle than that angle. So it's really about refining it. There's an example of it there. And here's just some example areas you might want to think about, like activism. There's a site called Care2. It actually brings activists together, artists, you know, amateur illustrator. You got sites on books, people that just love reading, people that love cars, like car space, people that love clubbing, comics, cooking, cycling, do-it-yourself type of people. Communities by ethnicity, fashion, fitness, film, football, gambling, health, hunting, intelligence, motherhood. I mean, just to go to a random one, let's just see car space, for example. And these are just all examples to get your mind pumping. There's an example of car space. Let's see. Fashion, share your look. Just examples to keep you going. Music, neighborhoods, where people live. I mean, now you got geo-social networking where you can meet neighbors you've never met before and see their house and offer to have a play date with you and their kids and things like that. MyOutdoors.net, parenting, pets, photography, politics, religion, rugby, sports, trainers, travel, video games, wine. I mean, just think. I mean, there's so many niche networks, as you get used to me calling them, to consider here.